to be in the book of Philippians. Hopefully you got a handout today. Did everybody get a handout? Do we have some more of those back there? Oh, my microphone is not on. Thank you, Tim. All right. Let's see. Brother John's going to go back there and grab some. Let's get Hunter. Can you help back there maybe? We'll see. How many of you need a handout this morning? How many of you need a handout? Don't have one? Okay. Andrew, go back there too. All right. Oh, we'll need a couple. Well, John, I don't know if we'll have enough. Well, okay, good. Just hold your hand up for a second. Those young men will take care of you. Philippians chapter 7 today is where we're going to be at. Philippians chapter 7. Oh, that's right. Philippians 3. Thank you. Thank you. There you go. I'm like, what? What kind of Bible you got over there? Philippians 3. I'm glad Amber's got it right up there on the screen. Philippians chapter 3 today. New Testament. If you need to look in the table of contents, look there. We tried to put a lot of the verses in the handout. I had one earlier that had a lot more verses in it, but then I needed a magnifying glass to read it, so we took some of those out. And so they're not all in this one, but it'll work. Anyways, I've been thinking this week and I've been praying, and normally I have my sermons ready for several weeks in advance, and you guys know that we've been going through the book of Mark, and last week, you know, things have kind of happened in our lives that have brought about some changes. And so we paused the last week and we talked about whenever unexpected trials come into your life, don't hate the postman. Now, somebody took my box. I was going to reuse the box again this week, but it's gone. And whoever took it, I hope you enjoy it. Thank you, cleaning crew, for that. I meant to tell you guys. But, you know, you probably got something this week that was unexpected. And like I said, my dad's here, been busy this week. Every time it kind of got quiet, Brother Wendell's been helping bag bullets up and take care of that. Those of you don't know, we make bullets on the side and the projectile part. And I think this week we probably made about 55,000 of them getting ready for Tuesday. Just in case. Wednesday, actually. Amen. Walmart's not selling them, so we might as well. But Wendell comes in and bags them up. Tim comes in the mornings and works. And so my dad's been here. We've been redoing a machine this week. And I thought, you know, I have a little bit of quiet time. Maybe, you know, where everything's running, I can, you know, just kind of meditate and just talk to the Lord. And over the din of the machine running, Wendell will talk. And I would think, I got to get away. And but I'm just messing with Wendell today. I really appreciate Wendell. I'm going to tell you something. Every time he sings that song, I'm reminded again of his heart for God. I'm so grateful for him. But I just really didn't know what to preach. And I've been thinking about our past. You know, some of us, we get stuck. Let me ask this question. How many of you have ever regretted something you said or did? How many have ever done that before? You done that? Yeah. Some of you are like, can I just raise both hands? We all have, haven't we? But how many of us have allowed that to bother us really longer than it should? You know, either the devil or a guilty conscience will bring stuff up over and over again. Here's what I want you to say this morning. I want you to practice this. I choose to forget. I put in your notes today about the word forget. It means to cease to be affected by it. It doesn't mean that you'll never remember it, because we'll always remember those things. But what it means is this. I'm not going to allow that to affect me. So many people never move forward in their Christian walk because of either bad choices that they made in their past, or maybe something that God brought in their lives that they didn't appreciate. Can I say this today? God can use all kinds of circumstances in your life to bring you to where He wants you to be at. Sometimes God uses my bad choices to bring me where He wants me to be. God's sovereign. God's God. So if I make a bad choice, God can work in the middle of that, and I'm grateful for that. Sometimes God brings things in our lives that we think are bad. And the reason why is because we don't know what He's doing. We don't realize what He's doing. But oftentimes we allow those things that have happened in our past to really destroy our future and our present. What I'm going to challenge you to do today is choose to forget. I'm not saying don't ever remember it, but I'm saying don't let it affect you. Don't let your bad choices from yesterday destroy what God's doing in your life today. And all God's people said, if I dwell on the past, I will never recognize what God is doing now. Who gets the victory whenever I do that? I don't. God doesn't. The devil does. So, I just patched together some ideas and a whole bunch of verses today. A whole bunch. Oh, by the way, I have a new program on my iPad. Wendell, you'll be excited about this. It allows me to set a timer. And at 2 minutes close to the end, it starts blinking. And at 1 minute, it shoots me with a mild taser. And at zero, it shoots you guys with a mild taser so that we're all awake and ready to go home. All right? Well, no, it does. It says, so I'm debating. I don't know how many minutes to put on it because I'm afraid that it's going to shut it down and I'm not going to be finished. So we're going to be optimistic today. Let's put 90 minutes, okay? Yeah, please. You guys, nothing, all right? I don't know what we'll do. We'll start the timer anyways. You say, what'd you put it at? You'll know. Oh, 3-4 seconds have already elapsed. Okay, let's get started. Philippians chapter number 3. Let's read these verses today. I'll come back and explain them a little bit. But I just want to kind of get through them because I always like beginning with the Word of God. I think this is a great starting point. Verse number 7, Philippians 3, the Bible says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. What he's saying is this, in comparison to what God can do and is doing in my life, nothing else can compare to that. I'm watching as he's writing. He says, I'm watching God work and all the other things pale in comparison to what God is doing. He says, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He said, you know what? What I've done is I've decided that I'm going to do my best to put Jesus first. Then he makes a statement, and do count them but dung. That's a powerful statement. He said, compared to what God is doing and what God can do in my life, all the rest of the things in my life are but refuge. What he's saying is the greatest joy that I could have in the world is no comparison to the kind of joy that God can give me. And that's a great idea today. You know, we see people today that are not happy. They're looking for things, they're buying things, and they're getting things that and they think those things are going to bring happiness and joy, or bringing this person in my life can bring happiness or joy, or getting that person out of my life. Well, I'm not always going to say that's a bad thing. Sometimes that's a good thing. But they say, if I just have this, I'll have joy. But no, the truth of the matter is, joy comes from allowing God to work in our lives. Paul says, all those other things are but refuge, but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. If you underline things in your Bible, I encourage you to underline the next little phrase, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Not about God, but that I may know Him. My marriage will never work if I learn about Tina. But my marriage will work when I know Tina. My relationship with Christ is not about me knowing about God. That's good, what God is and who God is. But it's more important that I know Him. A personal, intimate relationship with God. And all God's people said, it's just probably, it is the greatest thing we could ever seek for in our lives. That I may know Him. By the way, I'm thinking about, I'm praying about, the theme for next year may revolve around that thought. That I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection, by the way, the power of His resurrection proves that Jesus is God. And the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He said, I'm not perfect, but I follow after. Who we follow after is who we'll become like. Be careful who you follow on Facebook and Twitter and all the rest. They'll influence you. Everybody ought to be friendly, but you ought to choose your friends wisely. You know why? Because your friends influence you. Look at your friends. Honestly, that's who you'll become like or are like. You say, well, I don't like my friends. We'll get new ones. You said, but nobody will be my friend. I'll be your friend. Christy Gunner will be your friend. You said, but I don't know if I don't want to be like the preacher or like Christy. What's the matter with that, Christy? We're so kind. Easygoing. Just let everything just roll right off our backs and never, you know, so even-keeled. That means we kill everybody. No. Yeah, amen. Follow Christ. Follow Him. Verse number 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Here's another phrase to underline in your Bible. But this one thing I do, forgetting. Once again, the definition of the word forgetting here means to cease to be affected by. That's a great word, by the way. Forgetting. Forgetting those things which are behind. And then reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press. The idea of press is that pressing against resistance. Every time I read that word, I think of bench press and weightlifting. I press toward the mark. What's your mark today? What's the mark that God's got set for you? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. All of us struggle in different areas. At different times in our lives and at different periods, some struggle with the present. Maybe it's your finances or the lack thereof. Maybe it's relationships or burdens or the weight of society today. Some struggle with the future. What about my health? What about my retirement? What about uncertainty? Some struggle with past. Maybe decisions that you made or decisions you didn't make or sins you were involved in. Choices or regrets. These areas can become real hindrances in the life of everyone. What happens is we become so wrought up in the past that once again we kind of miss out on the present. Live in the day. Live for today. This is all that you're guaranteed right here. Live for God today. By the way, you chose a good mark to press toward today, to be in church. Be around the fellowship of God's people. Satan's devices have not changed. I put in your notes today, and I think I put the verse there. Jesus is talking to a group of men that have come to Him, and they're trying to correct Him. And He says, and Jesus looks at him and says, you are your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. I'm going to tell you something. The devil will lie to you. The devil will lie to you and lie to you and lie to you. The devil's goal is to get you to miss God's will for your life. He doesn't care if you miss it by an inch or by a mile, but he wants you to not walk with God, and he'll do whatever he can to do that. Way back in the Garden of Eden, he tempted Eve and Adam. And he told him, he says, go ahead and sin. You'll become as God. Nothing bad will happen. How many of you realize that something bad happened because they sinned? All of us have become sinners because of that. Oh, nothing. He's a liar. Sometimes he'll tempt you to make light of sin and the consequences. Oh, it's no big deal. And then after you do that, after you sin, here's what he tells you. Uh-oh, there's no forgiveness for you. You're so bad, you're so wicked, you might as well keep on going because God can never do anything in your life. What a lie. People do this when they take drugs. They begin to get involved in it. Or any other addiction, they get involved in it and they just move forward and it just gets worse and worse and worse until finally their life comes crashing down. Can I tell you today? There's hope. There's forgiveness. There's help. I'm going to give you six words today. Write in these six words. You say, I don't have a pen or a pencil. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your pocket knife and just prick the beginning of your skin right there on your finger. Just write it in blood. You say, I don't have a pocket knife. What? Really? Seriously? Everybody over the age of 4 or 5 ought to have a pocket knife. You say, why? You may need one. You say, but I may not. Fine. But if you need it, it's a lot better to not need a pocket knife and have one than it is to need one and not have one. We could put gun in here too. Amen. Either way. So if you don't have a pocket knife, here's what I want you to do. Walmart's taking all the ammunition and guns off the shelf in Franklin in case you guys get crazy this week. But they're still selling knives. So go get you a knife and carry it with you. You say, where? I don't care. Carry it on your person. You may need one. That's free today, by the way. All right? Two words. Beginning. Number one, remember and reflect. Remember and reflect. Verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You know what he said? As I look back at my life, I can see how God worked. My dad is here. My dad was telling Brian and him this morning about me leading him to the Lord years ago. And if he and I were to reflect and remember on the events that brought that about, there were some traumatic events. There were some difficulties between he and I. You guys, my dad is my personality on steroids. Some of you are like, what? Yes. Can you imagine us working together? We worked together for 20-something years. Now, many of you know that I tried to kill him on more than one occasion with a backhoe bucket. Lucky he was quicker then. If he's slow now, I could get him now. He wouldn't talk smack to me while he was down in the hole and I'm up on the excavator now. I'd crush that jerker right into the ground. But the events that happened in our lives, my dad made the decision, my mom and dad made the decision in 1972 to send my brother and I to a Christian school. I spent all those years in a Christian school hearing about Jesus, hearing about God. It wasn't until my senior year in school that I wanted to date Tina. And I asked her dad, and her dad said these famous words, no, I don't even like you. I'm like, where's my knife? That old man. He said, but if you come to church, you can sit beside her on the row in front of me. About 4 or 5 weeks went long. I made my decision on a Sunday night. We had a testimony time in our church. And I stood and the preacher looked at me and he said, Jeff, By the way, I was seated on the back row. That's where all the worst sinners sit at. But I said, I don't have a testimony. Can I come get saved right now? Jesus changed my life. Jesus changed my family's life. That's my dad. I went to Bible college, went through all the events and the struggles we had with that. I took over the little church in Avon Park. I remember the day that my dad said, well, if you're going to keep doing this preaching thing, I guess I can come support you. Boy, that's just encouraging. And he'd come to church, sit about right where he's at, except for I think it was on this side of the auditorium. It was a lot smaller than this place. But I remember the Sunday morning. There was just a handful of people there. I gave an invitation. My dad walked down. He said, I need to get saved. And we knelt at an altar just like this. I led my dad to the Lord. Sometimes we need to remember and reflect, because I'm going to tell you something. God can use some of the worst things that you ever thought would happen in your life to bring you to a place where your heart is tender. And that's what the Apostle Paul is writing here. He says, look, I put all kinds of verses in your notes. I just put these in. Here's a couple that I want you to get to. Jump down to the end of your notes underneath this section, and I want you to see with me 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9, this is underneath Roman number one. If we confess our sins, He, talking about God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what He's saying? If you confess, He'll forgive. He also writes in that same book in the second chapter, he says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. God's goal is that we sin less today than we did yesterday. But he says, but if you do, if any man sin, we have an advocate. And an advocate is one who pleads the case of another. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ, the one that died on the cross, is your advocate today. He's pleading your case before God. I choose to forget, remember, and reflect. Number two, verses 9 and 10. Let's read them and I'll give you what we're going to write in there. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 9, it says, in this I pray. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong verse, aren't I? Yep. Verse number 9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. If you're trying to go to heaven based on your good works, your church membership, your baptism, you're not going to make it. You and I cannot be good enough to satisfy the demands of a perfect, holy God. If you kept all the Ten Commandments beginning this day for the rest of your life, you still have a problem because you've broken some before today. Somebody has to pay that price for your sins and my sins. Can I tell you who? Jesus. Not having mine own righteousness, according to the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then he says in verse number 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, it says, and declared to be the Son of God with power. I have a friend of mine. He and I, we joke around. He watches sometimes on Sunday mornings. And he says, you know, I listen to you, and until you get to the place where you tell everybody that Jesus is the Son of God, he said, I don't understand that. He said, but I'm saved. And I tell him, I said, no, you're not. Until you get to the place that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you can't get saved. You may not understand it all, but there'll be something in your heart that says, I know that's true. So if you're watching today, you know who you are, John. If you're watching today, here's what I'm going to tell you. Jesus is the Son of God. And oh, He loves you. He loves you so much that he died on the cross. He spent 3 days in the grave. And on the third day, he demonstrated and proved that he's God by walking out of that tomb. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Here's what some people say. We deal with repent and rejoice. Some people say, but preacher, you don't know my past. It's so bad, it's so wicked, it's so vile that God could never forgive me. I could give you illustrations of people's lives that I know. I'm one whose life God pulled us out of. Really, where we were headed was a bad, bad place. But one of the greatest helps for all of us are dealing with the giant of our past, of coming to a place of saying, I don't know if God can forgive me. Really what we need to do is just read through the Word of God. Well, there are some people in the New Testament that God dealt with and God changed their lives. That's amazing. I put in your notes today the first one that we'll look at. If you have your Bibles, you can go with me to Luke chapter 18, but it's also in your notes. Luke 18, verses 10 through 14, is dealing with a publican. A publican, in Bible terms, was a tax collector. But the root word carries with it this idea, someone who can be bought. So when you read the word publican, you realize that it's someone that took bribes, that manipulated people, that stole from people. Two men, Jesus tells. This is not a parable, it's a true story. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a religious person. A very religious person, by the way. And the other, a publican, tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Listen to this prayer. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. You know what he's saying? God, you're so lucky to have me. I'm not like other men. Here's what he says. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican over here. Boy, how would you like to be? Wouldn't it be a cool prayer if I prayed that today? God, I'm thankful today that you have me, and I'm thankful that you recognize that I'm unjust, and I'm not this, and I'm not as bad as so-and-so. That's what this man said. Jesus is listing this, and he goes on, the man's prayer. This man is reminding God how lucky God is to have him. He says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And then note the change of scenery in the publican. Standing afar off, will not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast. He hit his chest, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what Jesus says? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, saved, changed, rather than the other. You say, but preacher, you don't understand my past. Maybe you were a thief, a cheat, a fraud, a liar. God can save you. I put it in your notes today, a little man by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was another one like that. We remember Zacchaeus because he was I don't want to sing the song. A wee little man. Short. He climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus. Jesus walking down the street. He looked up and he called him by name. Never met him before, but called him by name. You know what I know this today? I know this truth. Jesus knows your name. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. He said, today, salvation has come to your house. You know what Zacchaeus did? He got down. He went. And at the end of the story, Zacchaeus was saved and all his family. Did I put it in your notes, John chapter 8? Did I put that in there? Yes. This is the story of a woman that was caught up in adultery. Here, let's read this. It says in verse number 1, John chapter 8. Let me turn to my Bibles. I'll just look at my notes. John 8, and I have 8 minutes left, so the timer says. John 8. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees, scribes were those men that copied the Word of God, and Pharisees were the religious men, brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, they're liars, by the way. Jesus is not their master. A master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. You know the first question I have? Where's the man? I wonder if it was one of these guys. Just a thought. Now they're reminding Jesus, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They said, well, here you are between a rock and a hard place. You claim to be God. Here's what God's word says. It says this woman must be stoned. By the way, the word of God says both of them must be stoned. That was under the law. I don't know about you, but I'm glad we no longer live under the law. Amen. Says this woman must be stoned. But look at this. Jesus gets a lot of bad press for being mean and angry sometimes. But notice this. They said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. I love this phrase, as though he heard them not. This big crowd, they thought, well, we got him. And Jesus just bent down and started writing. He said, what did he write? I don't know. Maybe he wrote the names of all the men that had committed adultery with this woman. Maybe it was some of them. Maybe he wrote the Ten Commandments. Maybe he just doodled it. I don't know, but he wrote in the sand, wrote in the dirt. And when they continued asking him, they kept on. He lifted up himself. That's a neat phrase. That phrase, lifted up himself, is the same type of phrase that is used whenever he was placed on the cross. He was lifted up between heaven and earth. He stood up. He looked at them and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now, reading this in context, here's what he is accusing these men of. Not just any sin, but he's accusing these men of adultery. Those of you that have never sinned, pick up the rocks. Can I tell you something? There was only one person in that group that had the authority to pick up a rock. And his name was Jesus. And he chose not to. Let's read on. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So he stands up, he answers them, accuses them of wicked, vile sin, and ignores them. You know what he's doing? He's giving time for the Word of God to work. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, there's that phrase again, and saw, get this today, Jesus stands up, and the only one that he's looking at saw none but the woman. He said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. That word, Lord, there is the same word that we use for Savior. No man, Lord. And Jesus said this. Oh, underline this in your Bible if you have Bible. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know what we see here in this passage? We see mercy and truth. The mercy is here. I don't condemn thee. But here's the truth. Don't do it again. Get out of it. Change your life. I could tell you about the woman at the well. I could tell you about the forgiven woman in Luke chapter 7. I could tell you about the Apostle Peter as he denied Jesus. He walked with Christ. Jesus is on trial now. And they asked Peter three different times, don't you know the man? Don't you know the man? Don't you know the man? And over and over and over again, he said no. And the last time he said it, he used a curse phrase. And as those words exited his mouth and the rooster crowed, just like Jesus said. Jesus looked at him, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. His life was over. What he had believed in and put everything into for the last 3 years, he had walked with Jesus and preached with Jesus and lived for Jesus, and he turned his back on him. Heart was broken. The Bible said he went out and wept bitterly. But at the resurrection, an angel was there. One of the ladies had gone to the tomb early, and the angel said this, "He's not here," talking about Jesus. "You go and tell his disciples," and here's a phrase, "and Peter." You know what the angel was saying? You remind Peter he's still important. And then later on, Peter and the others have gone back to fishing. They're in the boat. And they look up and they say, "Huh, that looks like Jesus on the shore." Peter dives in, swims. It is Jesus. You know what Jesus told Peter? Essentially the same thing he told to the woman. "Peter, I don't condemn you. I forgive you. Now let's move forward." He said, "Richard, you don't know about my past." I don't have to know about your past. The one that knows about your past has already looked at it, and if you'll ask, he'll forgive you. And all God's people said, what a glorious God we serve. Repent and rejoice in the fact that God can do that. The devil may come in your life and attack you. Your conscience may attack you. But God says, move forward. Forgetting those things. Number three, remind yourself and refocus. Remind yourself and refocus. Sometimes the giant of our past are those bad things that hinder us from moving forward for God. Sometimes the giant of our past are those good things that we can't seem to get past and enjoy where God is working today. And I'm going to tell you something. The first group, I'm not really part of that. I have gotten to the place that I know God has forgiven me of my past, and if I do something today or tomorrow, I know that He can forgive me, I'll repent, and I'll rejoice. But where I struggle at is this, in remembering some of the glorious days and spending my heart and my life there. Let me give you an illustration here at the very end. My thing says 0 minutes, so I'm done. But thank goodness it didn't shut off and nobody got tased, me especially. The nation of Israel had come out of slavery, out of bondage. They'd been there for all those years because they disobeyed God. And God brought a bad thing in their life to bring them to a place so they would come back to God. Sometimes God does that. They're going back to the nation or to the city of Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and rebuild the temple. And there was a group of older men that were part of it. And as they saw the temple going up, Ezra was building it, they wept. And one of the reasons why they wept is because it was beautiful. But the second reason why they wept is because it wasn't as beautiful as the old one. Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote, he said, "Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this." You know what he's saying? God says it's not wise. Whenever you sit around and focus on, well, the good old days. Oh, the good old days. I remember when my life was so much better, so much easier, and so much. It probably wasn't. It's like when people say, well, I remember whenever Coke was a nickel. And a gallon of gas was a quarter. Yeah, that's great. And people were making 20 cents an hour. And most people didn't have electricity. Well, they were good old. No, they weren't. These are the good days right here. You say, how can you say that? Because this is the day that God has chosen for me to live in. And I can look back and I can say, boy, God sure was good there. But if I spend my time there, just like the giant of past failures, the giant of past successes can get me to a place where I miss out on what God's doing now. Amen? I fit in both of those categories. Well, I'm telling you, the second one is where I've spent a lot of my time over the last couple of years. And you know what I've decided? You ready? I choose to forget. I cease to be affected by that. Remember the lessons of the past. Learn from the hurts of the past. Then kill that giant. I choose to forget. A man was in great misery. He wandered along a country lane in England. He walked on and on and on until finally, exhausted, he sat down underneath a hedge, hidden from anybody else. While he was sitting there contemplating how miserable he was and how bad his life was, he heard two girls that were talking on the other side of the hedge. They were discussing a sermon that they had heard. One of the girls said, I heard the preacher deliver his deliverance message and it stirred my soul and it gave me hope. The other one said, well, what did he say? And you have this in your notes. The preacher in his sermon stated, the world will always say, you made your bed, now you must lie in it. How many of you have heard that before? But one that's greater than the world said, take up your bed and walk. Thy sins be forgiven thee. To every soul troubled by your past, he says to you, take up your bed and walk. The world says, oh, you got to lie. God says, no, you don't. Your life can be changed. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting. Ceasing to be affected by forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark. Where are you at today in your walk with God? Where are you at in your relationship with God? Maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, I've got some things in my past. Have you asked God to forgive you? You say, well, yes. Then accept that forgiveness and move forward. Quit bringing it up because here's the deal. When God forgives you of your sin, when He forgives you of something, He will never bring it back up. He's not like that. As far as the east is from the west, your sins have been cast. I'm speaking mostly to Christians, mostly to believers today that I believe are affected in some way by their past, either the great things that have happened or the bad things that have happened. Learn from those, but don't live back there. But I think I'm also speaking to some that have never trusted Christ. Today's that day. You look at your life and you see the events that have happened. And sometimes you wonder, why am I here? What is God doing? He's bringing you to a place where your heart's tender toward Him. And without those events happening in your life, God could not work. But if you're here this morning, you're not saved. The same Jesus that died on the cross for your sins, if you're not saved, one day He'll say to you, depart from me. I never knew you. He loves you. But His justice and judgment require that a payment be made for sin. And either you and I accept His payment, or we go to hell to pay for it. You don't have to go to hell today. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.